Wilde Tausch begins now. I am very curious now to see what happens with Josh Jacobs on Sunday, especially after Tausch took Emmanuel Wilson as his Steinhoffel sleeper of the week. You can be feeling pretty good, but with the swelling and fluid and everything he keeps dealing with that bruised knee, that can turn quickly on him. So I'm very eager to see how that plays out for him. And I'm eager to see if Tausch picks Emmanuel Wilson for his Prize Picks of the Week, presented by Prize Picks.
That's obnoxious. Our Prize Picks of the Week for the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos. By the way, we are underway in Austin, Texas, Indiana and Texas on ESPN. Packed house in the gym in Austin at 11 a.m. on a Friday to see their Longhorns, the number one seed, playing in the first of the two semifinal games here today. Just thought I'd pass that along for the group. Volleyball.
Yep. It's good drop.
Wisconsin-Stanford later today.
Yep.
Jordan Love. We've been on a little bit of a heater on Prize Picks lately, so we're feeling pretty good. We've been pretty accurate the last couple of games.
Been cooking.
Let's see if we can do even better this week. Jordan Love, more or less than 223.5 passing yards. 223.5 against the Broncos defense.
More. I think he's going to throw it. I think you're going to have some big plays. But it just feels like Jordan's kind of finding it. And the big plays are coming. And as Rob Domofsky mentioned, they play a lot of man-to-man. You know what happens in a lot of man-to-man? We saw it last week. Deuces B, big plays. 223 is not a big number. I like the more for that for Jordan Love.
I feel like Tausch has called this game a sludge match.
Yep.
If it's going to be sludged up, I think 223, I would go less.
Ooh, so, okay.
I'm sorry that I can't agree on that choice.
We have not been good at identifying Jordan Love passing yards throughout the season. I've veered away from that category the last couple of weeks, and we've had more success. So maybe we stay away from that one, and let's do this one instead, maybe. Bo Nix, more or less than 22.5 completions. He's hit that number three games in a row, 23 or more. 22.5 completions for Bo Nix against the Packers defense. What do we think, Tausch?
I'm going to go less, even though I think it's going to be a Charlie check down game for him. I think they are going to really focus on pounding the football. I feel like every time Sean Payton, and again, it's a whole different animal. You got Micah Parsons, different defensive coordinator. Always feels like Sean Payton has something from a run game standpoint. He's got his young back now with Dobbins being hurt. I think they're going to take the ball out of Bo Nix's hands as much as they can and try and run it and play action it. Going to go less, 22.5.
I am Team Tausch on this one. I agree. Less.
All right. Micah Parsons, who I don't know if I've asked you any Micah Parsons Prize Picks questions yet this year. I've not been sure exactly how to handle that, but he's been so good lately. More or less than 0.75 sacks. So does he get one total sack against Bo Nix and the Broncos on Sunday?
Yes, I think he'll get more than one. He has been so good. And I know, you know, we had Dino on yesterday to talk about sacks and or to talk about holding penalties and Micah. The Denver Broncos O-line, I think their tackles are good players. Micah's better. And they're not going to leave him one-on-one, but he will find some spots and find an opportunity. And to only one sack, if it was 1.25, I'd probably go less. 0.75, I'm going to go more.
Yeah, I was actually just about to ask you that. So if he's going to get one sack, you win because it's 0.75, right? Yeah. I would definitely go more because I think he'll get one. But do I think this is a multi-sack game for him? Maybe, but I don't think so. So one is, I'm in on one. I'll agree with Tausch again. I will say more.
All right. So that's two agreements. I like when we agree. Brandon McManus, more or less than 7 kicking points against his former team. 1 for an extra point, 3 for a field goal. More or less than exactly 7 for Brandon McManus.
Less. Green Bay has shown they're going to be aggressive. Even in a sludge match game, I got this game at about 17 points for Green Bay. The math doesn't add up.
No, I'd be 5.
To get to 7, so I'm going to go less. Yeah, theoretically.
I'm with Tausch again. I do not see this as a shootout. Now, I guess, so it's not 7.5 or 6.5, though. So this one could be a push, potentially.
It could be a push, and if it's a push, it would just be removed. It wouldn't count against you on Prize Picks. It just doesn't count.
Because you kick 2 field goals and an extra point, or you kick... Well, anyway, we don't have to spend all that time doing the math. My point is that if it's a sludge match, you could also look at this as they're not going to score a lot of touchdowns. They may settle for field goals. He kicks 2 field goals and an extra point. You're at 7 now. So,
push.
Yeah. I'm going to side with Tausch, though. I'm going to go on fewer, less again on that one.
All right. Well, this one could get interesting then. I wasn't sure which receiver to ask you about. We had a big, lengthy conversation about all the receivers yesterday. So I'm going to give you all these numbers. You tell me if there's any that stand out to you for Packers receiving yards tomorrow or Sunday.
Okay.
Christian Watson, 55.5.
Yeah, I'd go more there.
Jaden Reed, 34.5.
I'd go less there.
Romeo Doubs, 35.5.
More.
And Luke Musgrave, 16.5. We have not been good with the tight ends outside of Tucker Kraft on Prize Picks.
I don't think I'm going to touch Luke. So here's the deal. This is what I don't know. I don't know how Green Bay is going to approach it, or Denver is going to approach this. Do you put Surtain on Watson, or do you put their other corner and roll a safety and let Surtain just go hunt? Because to me, Belichick always did it that way. You put your top guy on their number two, and then you roll coverage the other way, and Watson is our number one. So that's what I think they'll do. And I think Watson will find a way. Patrick Surtain, he's coming back. I know he played, but he's been injured for a big chunk of the year, too.
Good point.
That's why I like Dobbs. I think Dobbs will make a few plays. Reed, boy, that's the tough part about doing this with the G&G. There's so many different options, and you're not sure every week somebody. But Christian Watson has kind of emerged as that guy. So I'm going to go more on Watson also.
Boy, I'm not a fantasy footballer. The Packers just feel like a nightmare team.
You wouldn't want their team, no.
Just never know who's going to be the guy.
I've got one playoff team, and I've got Dobbs and Watson on it. I don't know what – Watson's been great the last couple of weeks. Dobbs was nice when –
Romeo Doubs, he had no – catches. He had 2 targets last week.
Dobbs was good when Watson and Reed were out, and then once either of those guys came back, Dobbs has been kind of not doing much.
And what's crazy about that is, you know who leads the Packers in both receptions and receiving yards this season? Tucker Romeo Kraft. Dobbs, who had a 0 game.
Yeah.
Crazy. What was the number on Jaden Reed again?
Jaden Reed was 34.5 receiving yards.
Okay, so I know you don't play it unless it's a consensus. I'm going to take that one with the more instead.
And not Watson. You don't like the Watson 55.5.
Well, the only reason, and it's not because I don't think Watson has emerged as the guy, it's because I think that, to Tausch's point, I think they're going to put Patrick Surtain on him and say, look, if these other dudes can beat us, good luck. but we're not going to let Christian Watson beat us over the top. We're just not going to do it. So however they go about trying to short-circuit that, that's why I'm going that
and
direction.
I also wonder, I'm sure Josh Jacobs' number is not listed on Prize Picks. Maybe it is. But I do wonder how, you know, that Denver defense accounts and plays it differently if Jacobs plays compared to if it's going to be an Emmanuel Wilson game. And then I also wonder if you look back at the approach the Bears took, because I think Denver plays similar. They like bringing pressure. They like having, I think they like disguising things. They trust their down guys a lot more than what Chicago does. But I just, there's a lot of things you wonder about how they're going to approach stopping the run game and keeping two safeties deep, which has been so successful against the Green Bay Packers.
Josh Jacobs is listed at 66.5 rushing yards right
less.
Now.
Less. I'm going to go less on that.
Well, tell us more about Prize Picks.
Well, it's the holiday season. Best time of the year. Bowl games and basketball matchups, playoff pushes, and everything else. We liked it. I like Jordan Love with more. I like Bo Nix with less than 22.5. I like McManus less, and I really like Josh Jacobs with less than 66 yards rushing. You go ahead, get on Prize Picks, take a look. You pick more or less on at least two player stats. You get them right, you can cash in, and you can also stack it. Stack with the same player up to three times in one lineup. You can do Steph, you can do Giannis, you can do that in anything. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI, get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI for $50 in lineups after your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
To be right.
My bad.
Headlines are next, live from Sendix. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We continue to get ready for Packers-Broncos in the Mile High City, and we do so with headlines. Tausch, you're the innovator. I don't know if we have any musical royalty-free headline music, but what do you got?
Well, I can't sing anything because we don't know what the parody would be, but we've been limerickizing it anyways. I've been saying for a while, this game concerns me. All the way back to, I don't know, whatever, May, whenever the schedule came out, and it still is concerning. Uh-huh. I think this is a tough matchup. I think it's going to be a whale of a game. I really do. I think it's going to be a hard-fought slugfest in beautiful weather in Denver while we sit here in the cold while we're watching it. So here we go. The Packers get the late window at Mile High. Who made this schedule? The cable guy? Ooh. Constant pressure on Knicks forces a couple of picks. But in the end, the offense comes up just shy. Broncos 19, Green Bay 17.
What?
Wow.
Yep.
You're sticking with your May pick.
Yeah, I think that it partially, you know how in this business sometimes you have to double down. I think Green Bay is a much better offensive team than Denver. Much better. I think defensively it's a pretty even matchup. And home field matters. What I'm most worried about, actually, the home field matters, no question. I'm worried about where this team's going to be at emotionally. I really think this was a two-game bucket emptier, Detroit and Chicago. They emptied it emotionally. Flying out there, altitude, Denver's good. Will I be surprised if Green Bay wins? I think Green Bay wins by 10. But I think if it's a tight game, Denver has proven they win tight football games out there. And unfortunately, I think Sean Payton and that crowd and that defense spurs them on. I think Jordan Love makes a couple of the offense makes a couple of mistakes that's going to do them in. And I think Denver finds a way to get it done out there on Sunday. So it is what it is, man. I don't pick against Green Bay much because I don't like being wrong. This is the vibe I got. We'll see if I'm right.
When you say bucket emptier, I agree with the premise for the Bears game, right? Because you could see that was, you know, I remember Micah Parsons saying during the week, rivalries are for the fans, is what he said. But then The Packers' behavior in that game told me that the rivalry is back, right? We talked about that a little bit on Monday. My question is, do you think that that's going to cause a hangover effect for this game, or do you think this is also a bucket emptier? And then they got another bucket emptier after this when they play the Bears again.
So, I mean, I think in order to win, you're going to have a lot in the tank, and you're going to have to empty it. And I just, in an NFL season, there's only so many times you can go to empty before you start getting a bunch of sediment and all of the ugh, that sticks at the bottom of your tank, and then you got to reload. And this just feels to me like you're going out to Denver. You got a certain amount of gas. Mm-hmm. And if things fall right, you can maybe coast. This doesn't feel like it's going to be a coast game. This feels like you are going to have to really empty it. And I think Denver's in the same boat. The thing I like from Green Bay's standpoint is Denver's 10 in a row. But the problem is they had basically a gimme last week that they had out there. So the special teams, I think Denver's better. I think the defense, it's going to be with home field. I think Denver's defense is really good. I do think Green Bay's defense is going to have a day. But I just think we're going to fall a little short.
All right, that is Tausch's Limerick headline. Here is mine. I think the Broncos are due. Don't you? I think that Denver's defense is legit. But I think that Sean Payton is full of blank. I think McCarthy's just as good, but he doesn't get the credit that he should. And as much as I may like Bo Nix, I think the Packers' D gets their kicks. While Micah Parsons attacks, Rashawn Gary finally gets a couple sacks. Packers 21, Broncos 17. Which I guess would mean they cover since they're favored. Somebody's going to have to explain to me at some point how they're favored.
It's pretty easy to. Yeah, it's under. You have to look at it and say, where can we get the most? You have to tease people into thinking you want to get Denver. You want to get some money on Denver because the Packers are always going to be favorites for the most part when they're at home. Very rarely will they not be. I felt like Denver should have been a 1-point favorite, and that means they're a 4-point dog, if that math makes any sense to you guys, or a 3-point dog. This will be the fun part of watching this because if Green Bay can get out and get hot, get off to a fast start, that changes the whole kind of dynamic of the game. I do think it's going to be an old-fashioned sludge. Just an absolute sludger, and I love it. I can't wait to watch it.
The Broncos have trailed in the fourth quarter in 9 of their 11 wins this season, so we will see how that plays out in the end. All right, Jesse, your turn.
Well, I did a little investigative research because I did want to find out what was playable and not playable for certain music components throughout the course of this week. And as I was doing my royalty-free Christmas music
Mariah Carey's Christmas song is...
No, not that one. I don't think we can do that one.
Ooh, I'm curious where this is going.
But we can do this one. Denver gets run over by the Packers. Final score is 22-16. They can say Bo Nix is Peyton Manning or Paxton Lynch or somewhere in between.
Wow.
Out near Golden, Colorado, where they make our Coors Light. We've only won there one time ever, but I think we'll walk out winners Sunday night. Sunday night! Woo! Yes, they have a darn good defense. Pat Surtain and Bonito. But I think they might get rattled when our fans all on the road saying, go Pack, go! Woo-hoo! Hey, Denver gets run over by the Packers. Jordan Love, potential MVP. Let's go cash our tickets at the Hard Rock. Cause Tausch and I and May said we believe.
Pretty good.
I'll tell
Pretty
you what, good. Man. You've done a lot of good things in your time on this show. This has to be close to the Mount Rushmore for you for moments. Really well executed. Jesse, how long did that take you to put together the lyrics?
Becca heard me singing it in the shower this morning, and she said, are you talking to yourself? And I said, no, I'm coming up with my song.
It
came to me in a dream.
While you were in the shower.
Okay. Something like that.
Sounded great. That was incredible. Also incredible what Tausch and Sarah are doing with American Family Insurance this holiday season.
Yes, if you can, join my wife, Sarah, and I as we have teamed up with American Family Insurance to raise funds toward the American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All donations will go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country. And the beautiful part is we raise $50,000. American Family Insurance matches every dollar donated up to that $50,000 we have through the end of the year, which it's starting to unwind. We're almost halfway through the month. So we need help. AmFamKids.org. Visit again AmFamKids.org to help the cause today.
Is there any chance that Jesse can follow up that incredible headline?
No way. No way.
With a strong Wonelli?
I just hope we don't get kicked off of YouTube now. I really hope that doesn't backfire on me.
Hey, so funny little quip. My mom's mom, Grandma Pearl, I used to do
a
radio
hit by a reindeer?
No, but I used to do a radio hit on a station up in Wausau back as a rookie. Okay. And my grandma would listen to that hit. It would be on, I don't know, on Friday mornings. And they asked me what my favorite Christmas song was. And at that point, again, my head was swimming. I was a young buck. And I said, Grandma got run over by a reindeer. And my grandma was not a fan. She called and told my mom, what the blank is going on? I'm not a fan of what this is. So RIP to my grandma Pearl. Funny, and she always hosted Christmas. Did not like the song. And when you started singing that, Jesse, I thought about my grandma, and so that brings back fun memories for me. So thank you again on that.
But she wouldn't have enjoyed it because she was offended by the song.
I think she liked that she got brought up.
Uh-huh.
But didn't like the fact that she got run over by a reindeer.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
She knew the existence of the song. She didn't just think that you were running her over with a reindeer yourself.
No, I'm fairly certain. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody has heard that song. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I don't
like would I want my grandma to get run over by a reindeer?
Correct. I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
And would a reindeer kill you if they ran you over? They're fast, but they're not that heavy.
Yeah. They got supersonic speed.
Yeah, they do fly all around the world in one night, remember. Wonelli is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
That's a good point.
Jesse Nelson tries to follow up his outstanding headline with at least a mediocre Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Wonelli!
On Wildy and Tausch.
If we aim for mediocre, I think we'll be all right.
Do we have to get rid of Rich Springfield too?
No, because I think this is also the karaoke version, so I think we're okay. I think that's okay. How this works out. So
stay on top of that. Yep, there, Grandma.
We will monitor.
Do we need to put together like an album of songs we like, and the three of us just sing them and then play those?
No,
royalty free greatest hits.
What do you mean? No, that could be a fun little deal.
You want your singing to be our bump back music for every segment?
I want you to find a karaoke version of something by Eminem, because I think of all of Tausch's greatest moments, him as Eminem still ranks very high.
Yeah, that's top of the list. Speaking of things ranking very high, did you watch Thursday Night Football at all last night on Amazon Prime?
Not a minute.
No, I missed it.
Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may have choked away the NFC South. They were up 28-14 in the fourth quarter and lost to Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. It was a brutal loss for the Buccaneers, who are now 7-7, looking up at the Carolina Panthers in first place in the NFC
South. There's two out of the next 3 weeks I think the Panthers play the Buccaneers. That'll be decided on the field with those two teams.
But the Buccaneers looked good blowing their lead in the fourth quarter last night. They were wearing the old creamsicle throwbacks.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The home ones with the white helmets and the old Buccaneer Bucko Bruce on the side. Oh, it was fantastic. Is that the best uniform in football?
You mean throwback?
Yeah. I think at all. I think the creamsicle Buccaneers with the white helmet with Bucko Bruce, that home look, I think, is the best uniform in all of football, any level.
It's a bold statement.
Boy, that is bold. It's a good look. I mean, I haven't thought enough. I mean, obviously, we're Packer. Well, I'm a Packer fan.
Indeed, you are.
I'm a Packer fan.
Their throwbacks, the all-white look, which I think we're going to be seeing out in Denver. Is that right, Jason?
That is correct. Like you are correct, sir.
I also like the old, like the John Elway Broncos unis.
Yeah,
I like those.
They brought
with
those
the blue,
back this year. Those are good.
With the little Broncos. So I like the throwbacks. And I heard Canty this morning, every game, a Thursday throwback should be throwback. Every NFL game on Thursday should be throwback uniforms. Oh. It's a great idea. They merch it up.
Yeah.
Just throwback Thursday, everything. Yeah, it makes a ton of sense.
The Raiders. Silver
the Raiders. And the Raiders.
Wow, that is an outstanding.
That's really good.
Like, of all your bad voices, your Chris Berman was off the charts.
I didn't
good.
See that coming.
Bert be home by 11. Whoa, Nelly.
I didn't know he had that in him.
Whoa, I didn't either.
Nelly. You didn't know. I've done my Berman before.
Have you?
No.
Yep.
Not. I would say this. If you did, you never did it that well that I was that blown away with how good it was.
Oh, solid.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
We now bring in the Badgers Radio Network analyst for a spontaneous appearance. What's up, Tausch? Thanks for joining us today.
No, he's unavailable.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Well, then can I just ask you what you think of Wisconsin's new hire, Eric Mateos, formerly of Arkansas, now the new offensive line coach for our Wisconsin Badgers football team?
Sure, I could definitely give you an answer. I don't know a ton about him. He was obviously at Arkansas and has had some history with the offensive coordinator. He's had success. Arkansas's O-line, the numbers dictate kind of that. I am a big fan of A.J. Blazek.
As a dude,
played golf with him out in Las Vegas, got, sit in meetings, and he is a really good dude, and I think a really good football coach. But unfortunately, we know this business, and if your unit isn't producing, even if it means guys have been injured and you're playing young players, it's a results business. And the results for the last couple of years have not been up to the standard of what we need to win. So I'm sure Coach Blazek will find some work, and he's going to be just fine. And I'm excited to get to learn more and understand a little bit more about what we're doing. But his track record and resume have been pretty good. And if we are going to turn this program around and find some wins and get back to doing what people expect the Wisconsin football team to do, it's all going to start with the boys up front in that unit. And if that happens, I think everybody's going to be happy. So I get it. I understand the business of both the NFL and college. And that's the hard reality as a coach, is things can switch pretty quickly.
Yeah, I understand that they struggled. They had a lot of injury issues, but like you said, it's a results business. Whoa, Nelly!
I might have to say that's all I have time for, guys, because I think I need to go and get ready for Wisconsin volleyball, because we don't know how long our pregame show is going to go.
How long have you prepped? Like, what are you prepped for? You have your John Arias interviews, I'm sure, and then you go out live to him Austin, Texas.
The Hall of Famer Pete Waite standing by with him. Yeah, we're ready
to
go.
So what other stuff do you have in case this Texas match, which I hope it does, I hope it goes six sets. I hope they find a way to play nine sets since you've stood on this hill and just rotted with non-apologies. I hope it's a nine-set match today and it goes till 4 p.m. What are you going to do to fill the extra 5 hours?
I don't want to say there was some speculation in the office that you don't know how volleyball works, but between quadruple overtime yesterday and nine sets today, I don't
know. I know how volleyball works. Mm-hmm. I can hyperbolize to prove a point.
Well, because we're on at a unique time here coming up in a few minutes, we do have a little season recap for everybody who may just be hopping on the bandwagon, and everyone is welcome on the Badger Volleyball bandwagon. So we'll give a little season recap as to how we got to this point. We have the Kelly Sheffield show on standby that John and Kelly recorded earlier this week, getting set for the regional semifinal against Stanford. We have some showcasing player interviews, like you said, John and Pete on site in Austin, and then I get to wax poetic with whatever else we have if there's some extra time that's still needed. So
you will break down the matchup, and you will get into like how Wisconsin matches up with Stanford versus a triple block and all the other
stuff. I've got some nuggets on the all-time history with Stanford. I'm not a Dan Orlovsky here. Let's look at the tape and talk about, like, I'm not that guy, but I can tell you, I can put this matchup in context for everyone coming
What's
up here in a
spread?
Few minutes.
What's the spread on this?
I don't think they have one posted. I don't think college volleyball does that.
Do we think Tito Beveridge will be there? Like, does he go to the games in
Austin, Texas?
If you're in case you're looking for a guest,
really good
question.
I hope he is. Good. Yeah. So. Well, if he sticks around after Texas plays the first
of course,
he might go
cause
home.
Because that's the way they should schedule those games, clearly, is that the home team gets to play the first game of the day. The home team on Sunday will be the Denver Broncos, and they are located near Golden, Colorado, the home of Coors Light.
And you know what? Whether you want to celebrate a big Badger volleyball victory, you want to watch a big hoops victory, or you want to watch the G&G go out to Golden, Colorado, a.k.a. Denver, and enjoy a little chill and have some fun, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and cold package, so it is made to chill. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand. There's nothing better then going out and whooping up on the Broncos and then cracking open some Coors Lights to celebrate it. And, of course, you celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden
Colorado. We'll wrap up the show and wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch. It is time for Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. I've got it this week. And Matthew Golden's rookie season has not gone the way he was hoping it would. But he did something this week, and I was actually talking to him in the locker room earlier this week about this. So most times, if a guy feels a connection to a certain cause, it's because of their own life experiences, right? And and in Matthew Golden's case, you know, he told the story when he got here, and obviously he had told the story in his previous stops in college at Houston and at Texas in Austin. that there were times where he and his mother and his grandmother, they lost their house. They were they slept in a car outside of a Walmart at one point, and they faced food insecurity. There were many times where there was not enough food to go around. So on Tuesday, he took part in the Sargento Touchdowns for Hunger program. They presented checks to the Paul's Pantry here in Green Bay and the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee. He went to both of those events. Like, I thought maybe he would just do the one in, here in Green Bay. He made the trip down there. I was chatting with him about it in the locker room, and having experienced this himself, it's something that he's really passionate about. So, as you know, Tausch, from your playing days, the community outreach folks, they ask guys to do certain events, and he volunteered for this. He wanted to be part of it because this hits especially close to home for him. And so just wanted to laud Matthew Gold doing that, and Sargento Cheese, which obviously does the Touchdowns for Hunger program every year. But for Matthew Golden, you know, that can't be easy to talk about growing up that way and dealing with that. And so I just had a ton of respect for him. $25,000 check presented to Paul's Pantry, $51,000 check presented to Hunger Task Force. So kudos to Matthew Golden and Sargento for helping out Paul's Pantry and the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee. All right.
You love that part of it because it's authentic. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, guys talk about using their platforms in good ways, and to go and do that and to bring that awareness, and then also to help raise that money. Kudos to Matthew. That's awesome.
All right, that is Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. That's it. We're out of time. The show's over. Go home, or in Tausch's case, go spend more time at Sendix.
Go boo in Austin.
Well, hopefully
boo in Austin, boo Texas, folks.
Sure, yes, and hopefully they will take it to 9 sets. And Jesse will have a very long pregame show across the Badger Volleyball Radio Network, including right here. That's it for us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.